Coming up, bring out the Code Red and Cool Ranch Doritos. It's the gaming sensation of parents' basements everywhere. This week, it's Halo, and this is Most Extreme Podcast.
Welcome to Most Extreme Podcast, the show where we discuss and analyze the enigma that is 2000s pop culture. I'm Jarrett Whitworth.
I'm Brett Ellison.
And Jonathan got called up to the big leagues.
Oh, dang it.
Today he is serving his country on jury duty.
Do you call that serving your country? Is it more just a, like?
Well, he's serving the county. Okay. So we'll get you more information as that becomes available. So in his place, we have my good friend Caleb Wilkie.
Caleb's here.
Hello. What's going on?
Caleb, it's great to have you here. Yeah.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Mainly because I think when we were first doing this podcast, you were like, we have to get Caleb on the show. He's a good friend. Yeah. And now, like, many months later, we're
it
finally
happened.
Getting you. So apologies.
I'm still a friend.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Many months later.
Of course. No, yeah. Many, many months later, but also that apologies to you and other people that we've said, like, you're going to have to be, like, one of our first guests. And here we are in 2021, basically, getting into that. So, but thank you.
Hey, I'm happy to be here. I'll never forgive you for not letting me on Lego Star Wars, but that's okay.
No, we can do another Lego adjacent
sequel.
Thing. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah, for sure.
But we thought if there was a topic that Caleb needed to be here for, then this certainly was the one.
Yeah.
So,
which I'm excited to talk about it because I want to know more about both of your personal histories with, which we didn't talk about. We're talking about what are we talking
about? Oh,
that's
right. Yeah. Yeah. We're talking about Halo. You guys know, you download it.
You're looking at the title right now.
But we're talking about Halo.
And all right.
Not the Beyonce song. Apologies. That's a bonus content.
Yeah, well.
I guess that is a Beyonce song now that you mention it.
More on that later. Anyway,
we might touch on
that. But yeah, Caleb, so Halo was a topic that you seemed pretty interested in, or Jarrett had mentioned that's something that you have a lot of background with. What is your personal history with the series Halo?
Oh, man. Okay. Where do we begin? As you guys have noted before we started recording, I have a whole page of notes. And they're just the clip, like I said to Jarrett earlier, they're like cliff notes on Halo. So I'll try to stay brief because I know we're talking about it. But the thing I'd say about Halo is that when I think of myself now, I'm an adult and I have a career. I have a job and I'm married and like I'm grown up. But like I remember in college figuring out that like when you're younger, especially a lot of guys particularly, but girls too, play video games or are interested in games to a certain extent. And then like when I got to college, like, not everyone was anymore. And, but I still was. And that's kind of when I realized that I was a gamer, to a certain extent. And I really like video games as entertainment, storytelling, just blowing off steam, all sorts of reasons. And I still love games to this day. And a huge, 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 maybe the most important factor in that was Halo. Okay. I played video games before a little bit, but my parents weren't like anti-video games, but they weren't like, especially my mom was kind of like, didn't really see any value in it. And so there was a lot of like regulations growing up on like how much I could play, et cetera, et cetera. But all my cousins and friends had Halo and they had Xboxes. I didn't have Halo, didn't have an Xbox, nothing like that. And, so it started off with just like anytime I'd visit, I'd play Halo and I loved it. And, you know, I'm sure we'll talk about it more, but just long story short is I loved it. And then eventually that became like when my brother and I had a hand-me-down Xbox from someone with Halo 2, it had like a bunch of scratches on it. And so it would run,
oh,
but
no.
Not like run every campaign mission. And it would like be really wonky. And so we had this like disc cleaner where we'd stick it in and like clean it as much as possible. And sometimes if you cleaned it like 4 times, you could play another campaign mission. Sometimes.
Wow.
And then sometimes it would like, you know, weird out. And, you know, And so it went from that to like having a 360 and getting Halo 3 the day it launched. And like after school, we like ran over to GameStop, picked it up, ran back home, played through the whole campaign on Heroic like that day.
Wow.
And like that was like, that's what we did. And it was, yeah, I mean, there's so much more to say. I mean, like I play Destiny now, and I was really interested in Destiny because Bungie, who created Halo, creates Destiny now. And I was like, anything Bungie does, I'm in, because mm-hmm. they made Halo. And so,
right.
Again, lots more to say, but I think in the end, like, I would summarize it that I'm a gamer, and I'd say the lion's share of why that is Halo.
So was it like the first time you picked it up, like an Xbox controller, were you just like creaming your cousins?
I wish I was thinking about it this afternoon. I was like, I wish I remembered the first moment. And honestly, I don't. Like, I don't remember like the moment, like mm-hmm. it was some epiphany, like this will change my life.
And your cousins were like, Caleb, whoa, yeah. You're really good. Yeah.
Yeah. No. And that's another thing, is I wasn't very good at it.
Okay.
Because I was, Halo came out in 2001. Jared, check my math here. I was born in 92, so that means I was 9 yeah. when it came out. So yeah. I was real itty bitty. so yeah, that was, I remember everyone being better at me when I played Halo, better than me when I played Halo. But then I remember also in high school and college being like, oh wait, I'm better than everyone else now.
Right. So what you just said is terrifying to me, because you've played with me before. If you're telling me that you have a whole family of people better than you, or at one point were
better than me. Were
not anymore.
Jared, do you have any background?
Oh well, yeah, let me, my first ever experience seeing Halo, and I know it so vividly because I'm the youngest child, and my brother had a friend come over, like sleepover or whatever. Do you remember Bullwinkles?
Oh yes. So for those who don't know, Bullwinkles is basically like a Chuck E. Cheese, like
arcade,
but also has like rock climbing and a giant arcade. So it's got more than a Chuck E. Cheese, and also I would probably argue better.
Yeah. So yeah. So more. My brother had a friend, and we did like we went to Bullwinkles like that afternoon, kind of all as a family. But then he brought his Xbox over. We were always a PlayStation family.
He brought the Xbox to Bullwinkles. Like, we have video games here.
You know, so like, yeah, we only had a Nintendo 64 and PlayStation at our house. We were always a PlayStation family. But he brought his Xbox so to play Halo. And so I remember sitting, the Bullwinkles part is important because they got enough tickets to get like a shoebox full of Pixie sticks or whatever. I mean, they're like,
oh, wow.
High school guys or whatever. They're just like a bunch loading down with candy and playing Halo. And so I remember like going down to the basement and they're playing. And I think the mission that it was like, is it Silent Cartographer is the first one with the flood?
It's not.
It was one of those first ones with the flood. And I think it's like you go into the first one.
I forget, but.
And at any rate.
That one.
At any rate, I just remember them talking about like, we got to watch out for the flood. And like they're fighting or whatever. And yeah. I'm just like looking at, I'm just like, I have no idea what's going on.
But you remember it. Yeah.
Fast forward to like, yeah, like you were saying, high school. It's like guys, you know, parties where it's just like getting the like two Xboxes together and like eight people and doing whatever, playing like Infected on these different maps and stuff like that.
I have wrote down Infected on my sheet.
We'll get there because I love talking about Infected.
And oh, everybody looks at those notes and they're like, "Is Caleb okay?"
Yeah,
But then of course all of this is intersecting here because the reason Caleb and I are friends,
kind of. I mean, it's on thin ice.
Stop the podcast. Okay.
Dr. Phil's here.
Stop recording. No, so we were in a class together spring freshman year, and then we both did summer school. And so we found out, hey, we're both doing summer school. Like, let's hang out while we're here over the summer. And I would go over to Caleb's room, had an Xbox. And we would play some Halo.
All right.
And
there aren't that many people at summer school, so you know it's like slim pickings.
Yeah.
And hello, and then you
please
hear,
someone come play Halo with me.
All you have to do is hear Slayer, and then it's like, oh, there's people on my lawn.
Your mom kept writing the check, so I just kept hanging out. But no, so I would go over and Caleb saw basically from the birth of me, like, how do you reload? To now I still ask, but a little bit faster.
Yeah. Okay, so question for you: is Caleb like really good? From your experience?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Caleb is to Halo as I am to like Super Smash Brothers and Mario Kart for the Nintendo.
That's all right, that seems generous. But yeah. I'll take it. I mean, you're god tier. Well, when it
maybe,
comes to those,
maybe if you were better, you would have killed the people before they killed me.
That's true.
You're playing online.
You make a good point.
There is countless times. It wasn't even a joke. It happened so often. I would die, and then I would watch them get gunned down, and like Caleb comes around the corner. It's like, oh, my
hero. I just want to, you know, let you know, he's got to run. He's got to fly. You know, give him a chance, and then he couldn't, and I had to go in and clean up his
like
mess.
Those puffins in Iceland. I mean, it's a, like puffin day. You just throw them off
right.
the cliff.
That's right. You're my little puffin. Right. Yeah, little baby puffin.
Someone out there, our Icelandic listeners.
Yeah.
Fact check that.
Shout out to our puffin listeners.
Shout out to the puffin listeners.
Puffins with like AirPods. That's good.
That's not a lie. That's a real thing that happens.
Yeah, I know.
I just can't
I'm
give any
saying.
More
puffins
info
with AirPods?
Yeah.
Puffins with air puffins.
All right, we're going to ask them for some fan art.
Email us at most extreme.
Yeah, I don't have a ton of history with Halo. I never had an Xbox. I now have an Xbox, but I never really played it that much. It was definitely something like you, Caleb, where I would go to somebody else's house and play it. But I distinctly remember like going to people's houses, and then like if you're going to a sleepover, that's what you're doing until you fall asleep, is playing right. Halo. And especially since, yeah, we'll get into it for sure, but like the fact that a lot of the campaign missions were co-op available so that you would just be able to do that
right.
instead of, because after a while, just, you know, just finding each other can get mundane. So that being able to do something else is really fun. But I am personally awful at any first person shooter, period. I cannot do anything. I'm better with if I can see the character. I think it's also just a thing of I get really like motion sick if I'm playing with like first person controllers. Of course you can change like sensitivity and stuff on a controller, but like in general, unless it's a mouse and a keyboard, I'm just awful. Like period. And like, so Call of Duty, which is something that I just like trash at, can't play, never shot a person and won anything. But Halo is actually one of the only first person shooters that I've like I'm good at. Especially like if it's a multiplayer thing. So I enjoy it more than like a lot of other first person games. So right. I'm excited to talk about it because I have it. But I guess a little bit on the hit. Wait, hang on. Jarrett, where's the history of the. Oh, all right. Well, the history of Halo.
Oh,
is,
I mean, I got.
You got it on there?
I mean, I got the Wikipedia.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just read
that. I did a little of that this afternoon, too.
Yeah. Okay. How about, I mean, Caleb,
okay,
you got
notes. I'm sorry. No, we're good. We're good. Keep going. Keep going.
I didn't write notes on history.
Oh.
A little bit, but no.
Well, basically.
How was Halo made? Let's talk about that.
It was made in 2001. let's just see here. It's American military science fiction media franchise. Let's call it present fiction, future reality. Let's just go ahead and say that.
I like that.
All right, Chris Nolan.
Christopher Nolan does a Halo movie.
We'll talk about the Halo movie thing coming up.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
The Hans Zimmer soundtrack to our lives. But 3-4, well, Bungie.
Yes.
Caleb, you know more about Bungie? Maybe you want to...
Big fan.
Chime in. What else has Bungie done?
Well, they did do a game series called Marathon before Halo, and I think there was maybe one or two other titles before then, but, well, the weird thing was before Halo, they were known as making games, I think mostly for Mac, and so they were only, like, PC and Mac, like computer, and then, lo and behold, a little company called Microsoft bought them. And
heard of it.
They bought them and said, no, you're gonna make a game for the Xbox. And it's crazy because they didn't initially think, oh, this is going to be our headliner for, you know, the next 20 years, but that's what happened. So that's essentially.
Did the first Halo ever get a release on the Mac? It feels like I remember hearing that, but I don't know that being true.
It's a good question. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It probably did, but I don't know.
Any listeners, let us know.
It looks like it did.
Okay.
Just casual Google search.
Back on the iMac.
But like a couple years later, it looks like 2000.
Okay. A real gaming system is what Apple's known for.
Heck yeah.
So it came out, it was like a launch title with the original Xbox.
Yes.
In November 2001, and then came out on for like PC stuff maybe a couple of years later.
And just to jump in, it's just interesting right now, it's 2020. And the plan was 2020 got a little weird, guys. Sorry. But the plan was for the new Xbox Series X to launch with Halo Infinite.
Right.
And so it was like 20 years later, like, well, a new Xbox is launching. We got to have a Halo, basically.
Right.
It seemed like the thing to do. Of course, they had to be delayed because 2020. But right. still. Because
both the Xbox 360 launched and then, I don't know if at the same time, but like Halo 3 came out pretty soon.
It was the 360 Halo.
Right. It was like a pretty early release. And the same with Halo 4, right?
It was, yeah, for the Xbox One. Yeah, it so was, it again, seemed, it's close to launch. Yeah.
Right. It seems like the same thing with like a Nintendo thing being like a Zelda comes out either near the right. beginning or the end of right. every franchise.
But the, I mean, obviously the Xbox still came out, so it was just the game development.
Is right. A lot of games were delayed this year. Again, makes sense. It's just, every game company is working from home. It's just a little slower, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I do have one little thing, because we're talking about like the release of Microsoft getting to the gaming thing. I'm sure all of you have seen a picture of this, but I do have the video of when they were unveiling Xbox the first time at a Microsoft thing. The Bill Gates, mixed figure in general, but I will say maybe not the best public speaker. I think we can all agree with that. But he happened to bring out another celebrity guest with him.
Yes,
and I know, so I have the clip right here.
For that, everything in this box is the final design.
Looking like Morpheus over here.
Is that the Scorpion King?
That's fascinating. Yeah, I might want to use that sometime, Bill.
Well, thanks, Rock. And it really is an honor to have you here.
Oh, my gosh.
Believe it or not, I'm a big fan of yours. For instance,
I don't believe it.
Five-time WWF champion.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, thanks, Rock.
Yeah, looking at the teleprompter, you know, I'm a big fan of yours. For example, oh, my. This feels like a Tim and Eric sketch.
Thank you for coming. The Rock.
Yeah.
If you smell what The Rock is cooking,
you will love the Xbox. Yeah. Well, shout out to
Don't be a jabroni. Buy the Xbox.
Well, shout out to Terramana Tequila. Just want to
Oh, man. If you haven't had any Terramana Tequila.
I've not heard anything about it.
Try the Blanco on us. Use the promo code MostExtremePodcast at checkout.
Yeah, promo code MostExtreme. For 100% off, and you're like,
free ticket. Woo!
If you give me $30, does it cost $30? Is it more than that?
It's about $30. About 30.
If you give me $35,
oh. Someone's trying to make money over here. But yeah, so anyway, so it was very much sort of a risk of even just being on the gaming market was having Xbox on there. So yeah, and you know, the first Halo just kind of was basically the reason to get an Xbox in the first place. Yeah.
Which is really important. It wasn't until I was like jotting down all these notes and I remembered, I was like, it's an American console. That's the other thing to forget that I forget because we've had it for 20 years. But like, I remember it being weird that we were like, we as a people, it doesn't matter. But like an American company was getting into the console game because it was dominated by Nintendo and Sony for years, and it was crazy for, you know, an American company to try to get into it, and of course Microsoft's a big company to back it, but still pretty wild. And the success, for sure. I mean, there were Gears of War, there were other games, but Halo had a big reason to hand it in.
So you say you didn't get Halo immediately because you were going to play it with your cousins. When did you ever have the first Xbox One? Or not
the Xbox like One.
The original one.
Oh, the Xbox, yeah.
Not the Xbox PlayStation One, keeps it but so the simple. First one. And it's true.
Yeah, no. The naming system. What is the next one called? The Xbox Series X?
Oh, my God. Listen, I have mixed feelings about both consoles, but objectively, the Xbox naming convention is asinine.
Yeah, it's awful. Big words, nice.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's fun because you get to say ass, but not ass. Nice. What was your question?
I forget. Did you ever have the first Xbox?
Eventually. Again, a hand-me-down. And I don't remember what year this was. This was sometime in high school. It was like freshman, sophomore year of high school. And I don't honestly remember where we got it from. I think my brother, I have two brothers, but the one that was kind of like in high school with me that's closer in age, I think he got it from a friend or family member or something like that. And again, like the Halo 2 at that point, the Halo 2, that we got with it was like really janky, and like scratched.
Oh, that's
and
right. Yeah.
The disc wouldn't work properly. And like, we, played the campaigns ad nauseum, and so sometimes we had to like clean the disc super hard to like make it work, which was hilarious looking back on it.
It's like a car waxing machine.
It was kind of like that. What? Yeah, I don't even remember what way it works. You like put the disc in, and then you like spin it around. I don't. It might not have even been.
Mom, can I put this in the dishwasher?
That's the kind of thing that I mean. I still like getting like physical copies of games, but that's on the way. Like a conversation about a disc cleaner is gonna feel just so absurd.
And that is like, one of the advantages to getting just digital versions is you never have to worry about a disc breaking or anything like that. Yeah.
Right. But maybe while we're on that subject, speaking of everything moving digital now, just fun little factoid. The first Xbox, first launch price, $299, included an 8 gig hard drive.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So for reference, the most recent Call of Duty, you need 90 gigs of free space in order to download it.
Yep.
Jeez. Yep.
Admittedly, they get a lot of flack for that. They got a really big download game, but still, that's crazy.
I think the Master Chief Collection is 150 gigabytes or something crazy like that. Yeah. So I was looking through just sort of, I mean, we talked a little bit about the uniqueness of Halo to our, from our more personal thing, but I found on GameSpot.com, they did a forum and they were asking people what makes Halo so special comparatively, like what makes it so unique, different than any other FPS, first person shooter, than anything else. And a lot of them were saying, because it was pretty much the first like console version of like a shooter. Like before that, everything had been on PC, like, Quake and
Unreal
like,
Tournament,
yeah, things like Doom? That. No. I think Doom, which Doom, you know, a huge influence on Halo. Even just the design of Doom Guy and Master Chief, very similar. Mm-hmm. But even like GoldenEye, I mean, was the other one that people like from the N64, which is a lot of fun. But I mean, the controlling, of course, so the N64 like controller is
so weird.
It's very weird and very hard to use. So
Nintendo,
The Xbox controllers, like, hands down every year have just been, like, some of the best controllers in the gaming market, I would consider. I don't know if they're my favorite, but, like, they hold so well. So, the mechanics of just how it worked and just, like, just how the game worked was so different than anything else and just made revolutionary and then, like, made such an impact on the gaming industry at large that, like, it took off from a hit and, like, everything had to almost, like, compare to it at that point.
Right. No, I think it's really interesting because I was also trying to think, like, what did make Halo special? And I think you're right that probably Doom is the thing that's, like, most similar in style. You know, in first-person shooters before then, health kits was, like, normal. You always had to, like, you lost health and you had to get it back or you had to somehow heal. And Halo 1 had some of that, but Halo was the first game that introduced, like, you would just recharge your shields if you just stay out of fire for a little while.
Yeah, regenerating.
Now,
health.
Every game, every shooter essentially has that. That was, like, fundamental. Like, oh, wait, it is a lot more fun if you don't have to worry about, like, carrying your, like, little, like, first aid kit around.
Or digging through some trash can for chicken bones.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You're healed.
I think Gears of War, Call of Duty, they all have, like, some way of, like, you take damage and if you can just stay out of fire for a while. I mean, that's just, like, one example, but I just see how, like, years and years later that they were the first ones, I'm pretty sure the first ones, for sure the first popular series that did that.
Right.
That now they basically all do that.
Yeah. And the other one, the big one, I also looked up was the 2 weapon limit.
Yeah.
So you could switch between 2 guns. Like, that had not happened before Halo.
Right.
Also, yeah, smart AI for enemies. Yep. Large spanning levels where the levels would be, forever. And then vehicles, 2 first-person shooters simultaneously happening so fast was very revolutionary.
Right. And I think about another thing that I always liked about Halo gameplay-wise is it's a lot more floaty and physics-wise. Yeah. And to explain that is, like, when you jump in real life, like, it's like, jump. You're going to jump, like, 6 inches. Maybe a foot or something like that. But in Halo, you kind of, like, jump and you have, like, a soft fall. And basically it meant that you can, in fighting, you can jump around and move and while you're shooting. And it was a little bit more, fantastic. And
free-flowing.
Exactly. Yeah, when you think about Call of Duty, it's a little bit more grounded and realistic. It's not like a con. It's just a different style. It's a lot harder to move around. You move quicker, But it's yeah, you like anytime you're in the air, you just like fall immediately.
Right.
And that's one of the things I always liked about Halo is you're a little bit more floaty. The viz is a little bit gentler. Mm-hmm. And that's something that Destiny still has. It's like a bungee thing. I don't know. Yeah.
But even things like this is going to be really nerdy for, sorry for our listeners, but in like Halo 2, the very first level, there's parts where you like go, you're on a spacecraft. And there's parts where you're like inside, so your jumping is like pretty more normal to our gravity. But then you have to like go out on the outside of the space station, and so your gravity goes even higher.
Yeah, because I forgot about that.
Yeah,
mission.
So things like that. I've been playing the Master Chief Collection.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But yeah, it's also the nice thing about that for a lot of listeners is that it's because it's sort of like a 10th anniversary thing. Is that it literally with one button you can switch between the original like version of the graphics and then to a more like HD re-release version of the graphics. To be honest, sometimes going back to the old ones helps a little bit more because sometimes like the lighting and the textures and stuff make it more like, I don't know where to go. And so you just click back to like, you know, 2001 graphics. You're like, oh, I got it on here.
I'll go to that cube.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I think also just in terms of like a lot of the big things that put a lot of like being a sci-fi series with a, like huge deep lore felt very, you know, Dungeons and Dragons, having that like we're gonna put everything together, and but also being about military factions and like the Covenant itself has like, you know, a hierarchy to it, and even things like around this time in pop culture we have like Independence Day had just come out and like Black Hawk Down came out the same year, so like military stuff was already getting popular enough in terms of the like widespread society in terms of pop culture. So it's interesting to see, of course we've always said Doom, but it's interesting now because of like Doom playing such a high influence on it and then the new versions of Doom feeling like Halo. Not that they're, you know, they play different, but still. Yeah,
right. I think I love that you mentioned, and we might talk about this more later, I'm not sure, but I love that you mentioned that it's a little bit fantastical, a little bit of fantasy in there, because that was always a thing for me that really attracted me about Halo. And we might talk about this later, but like the music tells you you're in a fantasy story, even though like everything else tells you it's like a sci-fi shooter. The music was one of the things that always put you, it's like, no, you're like a hero. And I think that was one of the things that was always really impactful was that, and I think it's even plays in the story, like Master Chief's like, I'm just a soldier. I'm here to get the job done. But like, the music was something that was like, you know, even if that was his perspective, it's like, no, you have like a more important job to do. You're in like this mythic place, these like ancient alien constructs and you're trying to save humanity. And then of course, like the alien species, it's all like fantastic and a little more like fantasy oriented, but I was really, it was attractive to me. I love fantasy storytelling, and anytime you can combine that with sci-fi, it's very good.
A book called The Escapist written by Roger Travis, and he compares Halo's story to a like Shakespearean epic, saying that the religious and political struggle described in the games relates to the classic epic tradition in storytelling.
That's cool.
Just part of the cultural impact of Halo.
Yeah. Hey, that's a pretty good pool. This is like a professional podcast.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, that's why we're also sponsored by the New York Times The Daily and Serial and How I Build. I don't know. All those boring ones.
Squarespace, right?
Squarespace. Yeah, right.
I've listened to podcasts before.
Yeah, Dollar Shave Club.
Simply Safe.
But yeah, even things like... Like, the thing that I think it makes it so iconic is, like, Master Chief.
Right.
Like, as a design of a character, it's up there with, like, so easily recognizable with, like, Mario, Sonic. Because, like, a four-year-old could probably draw it, and you could be like, oh, I get... Right. Even though it might be bad, you can be like, I get who you're talking about. Right. So, pretty much anybody born from, like, 1990 onward, if you just showed a picture, they know who it is.
Right.
So, not my parents. They'd be like, I have no clue.
Spaceman.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's just something that makes the series so iconic, that even, like, with the new Halo trailer they played at E3, it was just, like, a bunch of shots of, like, the world, and then it just zoomed, like, panned away, and you just saw the helmet, and you, like, knew what it was.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. Were you going to say something? Sorry.
I was going to go off on a tangent from a little while ago. You're talking about knowing where to go.
Oh, sure.
In the games. And I was just going to go back to playing through the Master Chief Collection with Caleb. We did that senior year of college, basically.
Yeah, when I had the Master Chief Collection, yeah.
Yeah. And I was always, I'm just like a willing person there to like enjoy the fight. And like, I'm there to have a good time. Caleb's the one who's like, all right, we're going in this door. All right. Kill these people. There's going to be three of them coming down the hallway. Go in that door, move on. And then he'd like run through kind of a brief synopsis of the story. And I'm just like, dude, I don't know what's going on,
right.
But I will shoot those alien looking things. And so it's funny. Cause shout out to Brent McKnight. I'm playing through it with him. We're both in it for the love of the game. So there's a lot of times where we're just like, we have no idea where to go.
You still in Halo 2? Halo 2?
You mentioned that first mission in Halo 2 with the gravity. We were there. We were on like jumping around outside for like 15 minutes. Where do we go?
You're still on Earth? Goodness gracious. It's been like a month.
So do you
but it's funny. Caleb was like a dang general. Like,
yeah, so while we're playing this. You get really like in the zone when you're playing Halo.
He just knows it like the back of his hand.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is interesting just because it pertains to me. I haven't played Halo in several years because I was always... So in high school, this is a tangent, but I think it's interesting, at least to me. I was in high school, my brother and I saved up our money and got a 360. And that was the first time. Again, my parents weren't like real big on video games, so they weren't going to buy us anything new.
Right,
But that was the first time we were up to date. We had the most recent console, so we got a 360. And we played Gears of War first, but then got Halo 3, played through that and played a ton of it. And then ever since then I was an Xbox guy. And so I brought that 360 to college. And then, for graduation, I was given a, Xbox One. And so I got the Master Chief Collection. That's why Jared and I played through it. And then tragedy struck when, the place we were staying in over the summer was broken into. And, someone out there still has my Xbox One, I guess.
They have, if you're listening,
yeah, they have two please Xbox return it. Ones, a dead. PlayStation 4, and a Nintendo 3DS.
And also a Mac and like my two laptops in your book bag. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
They had a good haul. I mean, it was a pretty good place.
So they searched the whole place. Or were they all stacked on top of each other?
Well, the long and the short of it is it was sort of, we weren't supposed to be there. We were supposed to move from this one house to another house that the same landlords were building.
Okay.
But things had been so far behind on the construction. It was supposed to be done in January, and here we are in June, and they're like, well, we got other people moving into where you guys live now, so like, and our place isn't done. That was supposed to be done like 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And so they're like, but just like, we have this place right across the street, and it was just this like real, we call it the crap hole.
Yeah.
But it was kind of this duplex, and we just moved all of our crap in there. It was still boxes because they were like, you'll be in there. It'll be like 3 days, and then you'll be right. And so we were across the street from the place. We were looking at the place we should have been
in. The brand new place.
Mm-hmm.
With just everything piled up, everything still in boxes and bags and all that. And then we ended up being there for like 2 weeks, and then everything got broken into, and things were literally just ready for them to all pick up and walk, march out with.
It was probably a 5-minute job. Yeah. Like honestly.
And so then we went from out of there, and then a couple of guys went some different way. And I said, all right, deuces, I'm out of this. I'm out of this adventure. I ended up doing my own thing until I moved into another place.
Yeah. But the point being is that I didn't have a console for a while. And I was like, I don't know when I'm going to have the money for this. And someone bought me a PlayStation 4, which was awesome.
Wow.
And I wasn't like so Xbox loyal that I was like, I'm not taking this. Particularly by that point, I wasn't playing Halo a lot. I was playing a lot of Destiny. But point being was since then, I've not had an Xbox. And I'm kind of on the fence now about which one I would want to get as far as the Series X or the PS5.
Okay, yeah.
But because of that, I'm not fresh on my Halo, unfortunately, even though I would hope that some of it would come back to me naturally.
I think you've probably gotten to the point, if we want to bring in, you know, Malcolm Gladwell, 10,000 hours. I think we've gotten to the point where you're...
He's here. Oh.
Your Halo ability...
You guys just missed him. He was just Malcolm! Saying, come back!
So one thing I learned was that... No, so I think your ability at Halo
Jared,
will never
he was
change.
Just here. I just heard him on the mic.
Stop talking, Jared. Look at Malcolm.
He's right there.
But you Hi, could boys. You Whoa. Could take 15 years off, and you're not going to be any worse at Halo than you currently are.
Yeah. I hope that's true.
Okay. So one thing I want to talk about is just in terms of like Halo is that like, I can't even like the hype for all the games is like bigger than anything pretty much. So I have a video. This is from the Halo 2 launch hype. This is from a channel named Narcotics. Sure. I think I'm saying that right.
Nailed it.
Okay, so here's the video. Where's one of the most eagerly awaited videos? This is for the launch for Halo 2. Preparing to rewrite retail history. Video games is expected to have bigger first-day revenues than any movie has ever had an opening day at the box office. Biggest retail launch in entertainment history. You know, dozens of grown men and probably about three women have crawled out of their parents' basements tonight to be first in line. Wow. Kimmel's so funny. Video gamers across the country are anxiously awaiting the midnight release of a game called Halo 2. 45 minutes. Things have changed so much where they're like, some children's game. Yeah.
It's like, terrible.
It's like it's Jenga. I don't really know.
It's terrible.
I'm still playing with Jackson Marbles back here. But yeah, no, like,
see my cats on.
Yeah, the hype for it is like insane. And if you look at like just numbers, I mean, things have obviously changed because I think like Minecraft and like GTA 5 are still like some of the highest grossing games. But like at this point,
right,
like nothing has been bigger than, of course, yeah, like Halo 2 and then Halo 3.
I remember so many things I can think about for either the hype for 2 or 3, but I remember for Halo 2 watching that the first trailer, and it's like Earth is being attacked by all these Covenant, and you see Master Chief like strolling through in the spaceship. You never see a good look at him. He's like grabbing a gun, and he's mm-hmm. like armoring up and everything. And then meanwhile, you hear on the radio all these people like freaking out, these like generals and admirals arguing about what they're gonna do to like save the Earth. And and you know, the whole time the music is just incredible. And he like walks out to this airlock and looks down at the Earth, and it's like in distress, explosions, spaceships, all of this. And he's one guy, and he just like walks back to like the door handle, and he's like, and like space is out there. And you hear Cortana, if you don't know, she's like the second most important character. And she's just like, what if you miss? And is like, he's going to like land on an enemy ship. And mm-hmm. he's like, I won't. And then he like pulls the handle and gets sucked down to space. And then cue like the Gregorian chant, you know, the Halo theme song. And I remember watching that and being like,
that theme is incredible. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's also super iconic. I think there's like, you know, videos of like a bunch of people in like a locker room just all singing it together, because it's, you know, that's super iconic too. Even just like the bum, 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 bum. You're like, we're in, baby. Yeah.
I think that was a huge thing. Again, kind of like I said about I think the music's got so much to do with Halo's, like, hype. Because there were so many times where people who didn't know anything about video games or didn't know anything about Halo, at the very least, would be like, what is this? Because mm-hmm. That is not what video games sound like. And to a lot of people, you know, to your point, public culture and perspective of video games has changed dramatically since the early 2000s. And before, it was like, this is something for children. It's immature. It's a waste of time in general. I would say that's generalizing a lot, but I think you hear this very mature, emotional music come on, and you're like, this is cinematic. Like, what is this? And you log into Halo, any of the games, you hear that chanting, and that's very classical. And it's like, why is this? What does this have to do with like shooting aliens? And it's like, even you could argue, even if you don't like Halo, even if you didn't like anything about it, you'd still be like, there's something to this. Why would they put this music to it?
Yeah.
I think about, I recently was listening to a different podcast, not as good as this one.
Amen, baby.
But they were talking about Star Wars and talking about John Williams' music, and of course, iconic.
But also an influence on Halo, Star Wars,
of course.
For sure. Yeah.
The point they made was that, usually with music in a movie with soundtrack, it's like the general idea is like, I'm not a music person, but it's like you don't want it to be obtrusive. You want it to be kind of reinforce what's happening and kind of more subtly influence people. Mm-hmm. But then it's like John Williams, like, nah, they're going to hear it and they're going to love it or, you know, or hate it in the right way. And I'm going to affect them emotionally. And I really think the similar thing was for Halo. It's like, the music is going to inform how the audience is feeling directly, and it's going to be in their face in a good way, that like really made you feel like you're the super soldier. You're this person who's the hero. I still like listen to those songs. There's particularly some in Halo 3 that just like get me emotionally, and I'm just like, I'm this hero. I'm going to save the Earth right now. Yeah. And It's just really powerful.
It also helps that we actually don't know what Master Chief looks like, so that you can give the more to the personal like experience of it. I did see a video way back in the day on YouTube that was like, it was basically like a bunch of pictures of like, guys, I know that Master Chief is a girl. And then like, I think it was like a Hooba Stank song or something playing in the background. It was just like so early YouTube.
Early YouTube.
It was kind of urban legend sort of thing.
Yeah, like, guys, I can prove Bungie has made Master Chief a woman.
I've got the DNA test right here. Yeah. He's a woman.
If you jump onto this cliff at the right time,
his helmet
will glitch off, and then you'll see.
It'll be like Samus.
Yeah.
There's some video also I watch of like Master Chief versus Samus.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. But Master Chief versus the world.
And it's got to have like Crawling by Linkin Park or something in there. Classic. Were you going to say something about music earlier? We're talking about the chant earlier. I know you've been... not Halo. That's a different chant.
We're talking about how beautiful and nice it is. I don't know if I want to ruin it for everybody.
Oh. No, you should. No,
keep going. This is a comedy podcast.
So...
No, I already told them how beautiful and classical it is. Now ruin it for them.
I don't know what the Venn diagram is of people who have played Halo and also have seen the second Ace Ventura movie. But it might not be a perfect circle. But in the beginning of Ace Ventura, when nature calls, he is in a monastery. Long story short, the monks are very eager to kick him out. But he... did pick up some knowledge, and he's able, like, at some point later in the movie, he's trying to, like, focus his energies and, like, harness nature. And so he's, like, sitting on a mountain, and he does this thing, and he goes, "All righty then." And it's, like, it is, if it's not in the same key, it's a half step up or down in either direction. Yeah. And so I have never been able to hear the Halo song, beautiful as it is, which is true. But I only every time want to say "Alrighty then" in like the Jim Carrey Ace Ventura style.
You think the composer for Halo is watching Ace Ventura 2, just sitting around like,
yeah, I could make this beautiful.
That's dope. I like that. Yeah, I got that.
I don't know. Can we get the sound back? Can we play that?
Yeah, sure.
Or if I played it,
You just hold it up to the mic.
We're gonna get canceled.
Just a little longer than 15 seconds. Oh my god.
It's really close.
Am I right?
It's really close.
Wow.
So I think maybe one of those first times I was like really playing with Caleb, I was like, you know, I think I've heard this before.
That rules.
Meanwhile, I'm like, you know, praying and having like this like religious experience.
Caleb's over in tears. Yeah.
Like, why are you kneeling in front of the Xbox 360?
I'm like, I'm talking out my butt. You
know, how do you reload? There's two Jarretts in the room. What? So it's interesting that you're talking about Halo. And just talking about how the cinematic the experience is, because I think a lot of it, just in terms of the hype, is that Bungie and Microsoft like treated a release of Halo like the release of a new summer blockbuster film.
Right.
A lot of it just being just in terms of how like I don't think any gaming really had like a marketing push like a Halo, like a video for a video game like this before. And I was just looking through, just talking about, but like Halo 3. Like, personally, I've still never seen a video game have as much hype as Halo 3.
Oh, man. Like
teachers canceling schools. Yeah, everyone go home, play Halo 3, you know.
And you said it was, like, basically a launch title for the 360 as well?
I don't remember the timeline,
I don't think
to be
it was
honest.
Exactly.
I don't, because we got my brother and I got our 360, and it was like you got Gears of War. That was, like, kind of the initially, I think, if I were get... My timeline might be whack, but I think Gears of War was like the thing for Xbox during the initial 360 days that got it through to Halo 3, I think.
So September 25th, 2007 was the release of Xbox 360's Halo 3. And at the time, it was the biggest launch in entertainment history.
That's crazy.
Approximately 170 million sales on the first day and 300 million in its first week.
Dang.
Wow.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's to be able to beat that is, I think, still GTA.
And it's crazy to think, like, to the video you were showing earlier, it's not like today. Mm-hmm. That launch was everyone sitting in line waiting for it. It was not that. Now you just like download it.
Yeah, you can pre-order it and it's on your like your thing on midnight.
Yeah, or you order it from Amazon or you know order online right. And maybe a few people maybe you know go to keep GameSpot, GameStop, whatever in business. A very few, but it's not the same anymore. The hype's not there.
Well, do you remember that first time the last time we went to see a midnight premiere?
Yes, in college,
and we saw people leaving the theater, and we were like. We want to do what they did. We want to see this at 7. Well, what are we staying up to
ever
midnight?
Since Jennifer and I love seeing Thursday 7 o'clock showings right. of now, movies.
Yeah, it's like, Endgame's coming out on a Wednesday? What? Yeah,
yeah,
so for sure.
I can just download this to the console?
Yeah, okay. Yeah exactly. But I mean, I've still had party stuff like when Smash Brothers comes out and it's like, all right, we're all going to be here at midnight so that we all play it. But that's a little bit different when it's a multiplayer thing so you do a more party. Because it's harder if like, okay, Red Dead 2 is out now. Let's watch one of us play the story mode.
Yeah. Watch one of us shave for 20 minutes.
And this character looks good.
I think you made a great point on that note earlier was the co-op nature of Halo campaigns.
Yeah.
And that was a huge thing to me was playing co-op. Again, my brother Jake and I would play the campaigns ad nauseum. It's so crazy because I play online games all the time now, play with strangers or play with, you know, other people across the country I do know, but I don't like play campaigns and it's just different now. Online gaming is a huge thing. Mm-hmm. I play Destiny or Fortnite or whatever and with, you know, and that's a thing, but like for so much of my youth, we didn't pay for online gaming.
No.
You know, that for sure did not have any money for that. And so just play these campaigns and like I did not I mean, maybe occasionally, but for the most part, didn't get bored of it. The campaigns are so well done. They're so cinematic. They're so much fun that it was just always a blast. And like my brother and I would like play on Legendary, which is the hardest difficulty. And then starting to think in 3 for sure, you could add different modifiers and make it harder. And to Jared's point earlier, I already know every enemy that's around the corner, but like it was still like challenging to figure out how well I could do it and push it. And or like in Halo 3, there were these giant Titanic things called Scarabs and these giant like walking robot tank things. And they were like there was like the one main way you're supposed to kill them. But then we figured out that like 3 other ways you could kind of do it because we played it. You know, like 100 times through. But what was really cool was being able to play that with another person was the thing. You could play it solo, or you could, the co-op nature was so much fun. Yeah. And up to 4 people, I think, with Halo 3. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Was it Halo 5 that didn't have a co-op? There was one that was the first one.
We
do not
speak of it.
Okay.
I know that I never played Halo 5 except for the beta, but I know it's not as well loved as the other ones.
Which just seems they took away such a beloved
thing.
You can't, no co-op.
Yeah, that's something that's happened, especially as a gaming trend, which is interesting because Halo, like Xbox Live was sort of huge in terms of like Halo being one of the first big online multiplayer games. But now it does seem like a lot of people are moving away from the split screen thing and going just to online, which sucks, especially if you want to like play with your friends or your siblings or something. Shout out to Jake. hi, Jake. Glad you're listening. If you've suffered this far,
I'll tell him.
Interesting just in terms of. Like you're talking about like the Walker Creek. What are they called again?
Scarabs. Pretty sure it's Scarabs.
I remember my friend showing me the flood for the first time and then like having like nightmares because of the idea. Because the first thing you find is like a videotape of like a helmet of someone who died. And
like a horror movie for a little bit.
Really intense. Terrifying. Yeah. So you're getting a lot of like alien not alien versus predator, but alien and predator vibes.
You're the predator.
Alien versus Master Chief.
I mean, 2022, let's have it. Let's make a movie. So interesting going back to sort of like Halo 3, hype, was so big across the board that it was first because they treat it like a blockbuster movie that it was one of the first that had like promotional synergy through like cross product product placement, not in the game, but like, for example, I have a few here for Halo 3 was like Microsoft struck deals with Pepsi for a Halo 3 branded Mountain Dew and Doritos.
Oh my gosh. That's so mid 2000s gaming.
Mountain Dew Game Fuel. Here it is right there. It is a very dark orange.
Didn't they have a special edition Xbox that was like Mountain Dew, a Mountain Dew Xbox? It was like lime green.
I believe that. That's another thing. Side note, as a graphic designer, I don't like old mid-2000s Xbox branding and style. It looks like Monster, like that, like, like this, like, edgy, it looks like it does belong in a basement.
That is another reason we kind of...
does belong in
a basement. It's matured. Xbox has matured quite a bit.
Some kid, like, it belongs in a basement with an indie hat.
Ooh, I like that. Good reference.
We'll put it in the movie, 2022. No, but also, yeah, that's another reason we kind of started this whole thing, and we call it the enigma that is 2000s pop culture, because it's just like, what in the world was that? Another cross-promotional thing they had was with Burger King and 7-Eleven for Halo 3 Slurpees. You can see them right here.
Okay.
Definitely part of the meme of like, honey, we have guests. Bring out the fine china. these Halo 3 Slurpee mugs. Microsoft also took less conventional approaches, and they sponsored the Linkin Park Project Revolution Tour. That might be the most 2007 sentence I've ever heard in my entire life.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Sponsored by Xbox.
Yeah, there's a Halo 3 sponsorship. I don't know if that meant like, and like, Master Chief comes and just shreds a solo in the middle of a song or something. But yeah, Halo 3 also sponsored a NASCAR vehicle. I also have that picture right here. So yeah, they were getting all of everyone in terms of cross promotion. They also had a Master Chief figurine at the Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in Las Vegas, and they even convinced Pontiac, another long sentence, to pony up $5 million of its own money to pay for Halo 3 IMAX events, where you could play it on an IMAX screen.
Okay, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
That would be insane. That's insane.
So that was, yeah, IMAX? Like, these are things that you would only be doing for, like, films, basically. But right. The fact they're doing for a video game was pretty revolutionary. But also, like, yeah, the whole meme of gamers with Doritos and Mountain Dew, I think, comes from, like, these cross-promotions for Halo. Yeah.
Admittedly,
the generalization.
I think there is some truth to that. There was a lot of that, and there still is a little bit. But I think gaming culture has also matured. You know, I'm not saying that was all of it, but there was still a lot of gaming culture back then that was a bunch of dudes just sitting around,
right?
Dorito dust,
yeah.
And,
exactly.
Yeah, and as gaming has expanded to be, you know, more diverse, hit more people.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's less, you know, a dude centric.
I play Fortnite with my wife a lot. It's really great.
Yeah, no. And I think I think it's by this time I will be okay, spoilers if it's not already out or not, but we're doing a Nintendo DS episode like that really changed it for being, you know, for both guys and gals or anyone in between, you know, where it's like very much like you have games like Nintendogs, Animal Crossing, where it's like that kind of for even like little kids that brought everyone into gaming, where like here we are now, and that's like especially in 2020 become like the big, you know, platform for storytelling.
Right.
But yeah. So it's interesting because it's just like I have not yet seen a game with this much hype ever, even like to this day in terms of the game. But it is weird because we are currently recording this, what, 4 days away from the release of Cyberpunk 2077?
Yeah.
Which that feels like that might have, this might be more hype.
They do have Keanu Reeves.
Keanu Reeves being in it, you're breathtaking. Yeah, they have like a special Xbox One and everything for it. But it feels like everywhere we go, like now, especially online and everything, that there is tons of promotional
stuff for
Cyberpunk 2077. Yeah. So that might hit it, but who knows? The game's not out yet. But by the time this is out, hopefully everyone's enjoying themselves playing it in Night City. But, this is actually kind of a weird segment, we're actually sponsored by Cyberpunk 2077, mostly. So even we're promoting it even after it's been out. But I have the press release. Do you want me to read it?
Yeah.
Okay, I can read it. We'll add some music in later for, we'll cue that in now.
Halo theme song.
No. okay, here we go.
Cyberpunk 2077 is the greatest thing ever made. Never since the invention of the wheel has our species been able to create such an important thing to humanity. Immerse yourself in the dystopian world that is the coming of our Lord and Savior, Cyberpunk 2077. I believe that the next evolution of man is not physical, but technological. Cyberpunk 2077 is that technology.
I don't know if you had anything to add in the press release that we have, but...
I think you got it all. I thought that... What happened to Heelys? I thought Heelys was from our Heelys. That's hilarious.
Just going off of that... I think Bungie, even with Destiny, when that came out, did treat that like a Hollywood blockbuster. Mm-hmm.
Was really crazy. I can, trust me, get in the weeds with Destiny, but I'll be brief here. Coming off of Halo, they were a hot commodity. It was like, whatever Bungie touches next, we want. Everyone wanted it. And it was a big deal that... Activision, who is still the publisher, I think, for all the Call of Duty games, wanted immediately snapped them up with a lot of money.
Yeah.
And it was a big deal that Bungie started making games for PlayStation 2 and then eventually for PC.
And then they moved away from Microsoft being their owner, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. So it was really it was just more telling of their success. It was that anything that they made, people want in on it. So that's really fascinating.
Right. So I do have one sort of note. I mean, we're almost finishing up here, but I do have one interesting thing talking about. So all these releases, especially starting to see Halo 3, is about the Cabela games. So I do you guys know about Cabela, the hunting store, mm-hmm. sort of like a Bass Pro Shops type thing. But Cabela has a series of hunting simulation games that have been coming out like almost every single year, right. type thing. But apparently the developers must be pretty blindsided because every Cabela game has come out exactly the exact same day as a Halo release for like 5 years or something like that. Yeah. So to give an example, Cabela's Trophy Bucks came out the exact same day as Halo 3. Cabela's Big Game Hunter 2010 came out the exact same day as Halo ODST, and Cabela's North American Adventures came out the exact same date as Halo Reach.
What?
And from two reports I was able to read, it seems that they didn't have any clue that they would be releasing the same day as Halo series. I do know this. There's a YouTube comedy group, Mega 64, who my favorite YouTube group. I've been able to meet them in real life. They're really cool guys. But they make a series of like videos of like a dramatic recreating of the events at Cabela, where they're celebrating like finally I get a year without any competition, and they keep doing it every single year.
I didn't know Cabela's made video games.
Yep.
So they start out every video like, we're here to like experience and show you guys a video about the dramatic of like one of the best game launches of this year. Like, yeah, Cabela's North American hunting tour.
Finally, it's out.
Yeah.
It's like when you occasionally I'll see an article. It's like, I think it's like a Mental Floss article. It's something like that. It's like the sorry movies that came out like the same year as like, or the same weekend as Star Wars or like Avengers, yeah. or something like that. And like they make like $60,000, yeah, you know, something yeah, like yeah. abysmal.
Yeah. But I think, well, at least with Cabela, they just keep being like, oh, let's release it this time. And they're like, again, right, another right. Halo game.
How does it accidentally happen?
But yeah, no, I think the impact on gaming at large is that Halo's just been able to, you know, make, as we've said already, with like regenerating health and the weapons and stuff like that, it's definitely shown itself. But even things like Red versus Blue, which is right, Rooster Teeth, yeah. like brought in their success was through Halo. And even things, yeah, like that were just being able to just mess around and just, you know, if you have like story games and you have like fun multiplayer games and a game that can able to do both really well right. is just something that makes really cool about Halo.
I think the synergy is the thing of those two things, because we spent, and especially me, because most of my like nostalgia comes from the campaign and the story and doing that. But like for most people, it's the multiplayer for Halo that like that revolutionized it, even though it does borrow a lot from Doom, Unreal Tournament, etc. It was, I think I saw a stat, a quote about Halo 2 was the first game, I don't know if it was the first, but maybe the first popular game that had matchmaking, actual like matchmaking online. And that now every game does, you know, and apparently, again, the thing I saw was that Halo 2 was the most popular Xbox Live game for 2 years straight.
Wow.
And that's a record that's not ever been broken. I don't know if that's true, but that's what I saw, is that that like for 2 years straight, it was the most played online game. I mean, again, I don't know how much competition it had, but
right. Yeah. Phil Spencer, come out and tweet at us. See if
you, come on, see Phil.
Yeah. Phil. Hi, Phil.
But yeah, I mean, I think it was just the multiplayer was phenomenal, and that dominated so many people's lives. And that's why, like, for a long time, it's different now, but a lot of times it was what was going to be the Halo killer, was like what video game developers talked about, and was what would be the thing that could like knock down the king, but which eventually, I don't know, like the
Kingslayer, right?
Right. I don't know the nuts and bolts of it, but Call of Duty, I think, is
yeah. And even then, Call of Duty's been able to somehow put out a new version of a game every year, and it still feels like the one that like changed everything was Modern Warfare 2. And even then, people would be like, oh, yeah, but still, I mean, like, well, Modern Warfare 2 is the best one.
Yeah, I think most people do think that's...
And that one, yeah, I think that one changed everything for sure. But it's interesting that we're talking about, like, so, like current-day Halo, because it feels like we've mistakenly mentioned, like, Halo 5, and we don't have Halo Infinite yet. But sort of, since three industries has sort of taken it over, it's... it doesn't have the high, I mean, still massively popular and sells well, but it's not the same as a Bungie version of Halo. I don't know how you guys feel about that.
It's tough because it's so hard to tell. I would love to read more and like have like analysts and people in the industry talk about it. I can just go by what I feel and what I've played. And so I think sometimes, because what I think sometimes is that it's the competition has changed, and where Halo like started a new thing and it was the game in town, literally the game. But then like eventually other people learn from them, and just like, you know, supply and demand, and that all that works is that people learned and started making good products that they learned from what Halo did well. And so then when that happened, you know, you kind of get other contenders and et cetera. The thing I will say is I really liked Halo 4, which was 343's first entry. And Jared and I played a ton of that multiplayer in college. And that's the thing I would say, though, is that that was the first one I ever played a lot of multiplayer of. I didn't have Xbox Live until I went to college.
Right.
Because I was like, what am I going to do? Go to class? And so I got Xbox Live, right? I got Xbox Live, and we started playing Halo 4 a lot. And so I think that's one of the reasons is maybe if I had played Halo 2 in college, you know, that by then it was an old game. Maybe that would be, I would have a similar type of positive feeling. But in general, there does seem to be this, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah. Yeah, personally, it does feel to me like Xbox Now and Microsoft in general don't have like the like creative integrity that they used to with like the Xbox and the Xbox 360. And they're not just putting, I just don't feel like the first trilogy up really until Halo Reach, it doesn't feel like they've done any like really boundary pushing pieces of like art that I would call like a lot of the original Halos, because it's like the only thing I can say that I know about Halo Infinite now is a grappling hook, which is cool.
It's cool, yeah,
but nothing about it to me is yet saying like that you've changed the boundary for like what Halo is and like keep it as a series rather than just like you know it and you love it, and it's like yes, it's true, but like the first ones are so revolutionary.
I played of course Halo 4 campaign plenty, and it was very good, but there are a number of times where it did feel, it's, again, this is kind of so many times where you have one company made it and then another company takes over. You have this syndrome. It did often feel like, oh, this is a really, 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 really good knockoff. Like, that's what it often felt like. The campaign missions were good, but not quite as good.
Right.
And again, it's hard to beat nostalgia, so I'll admit that. So I'm just explaining how I feel playing it, how I felt playing it, is I liked it, but there were often times where I was like, eh, not quite as fun. I liked a lot of what they did with the story. It was interesting that, like, starts they were like, oh, we got to do a good story, and they started getting into, like, more emotional sides of, like, Master Chief and, like, what drives him, and that was really interesting, but, yeah, not quite all there. And I never played Halo 5's campaign because, again, whoever has my Xbox, please return it.
Ding dong! Oh my gosh, he's here.
Tell you how the Halo 5 campaign was.
Yeah, no, I definitely haven't looked it up.
Malcolm Gladwell's been really quiet and looking really sweaty every time you mentioned your stolen Xbox.
I knew Malcolm and did
look
it.
Look at him.
All right. I could smell him. But yeah, point being that it's a little weird now for sure. I watched the Infinite gameplay reveal and was kind of like, okay, yeah. It's not bad. It's not bad. It definitely wasn't bad, but I wasn't convinced, you know, as someone who's like, I could get an Xbox now and then be able to play Halo. But then I was like, but I also play with people on PlayStation, and I don't think Infinite didn't sell me on jumping back onto Xbox, basically.
Yeah. And it feels like right now, because we're in the hype phase, like Saturday Night Live last night did a sketch about the PS5.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like we're in this like zone of like that's the hype. That's the big thing that people are even waiting out at Walmart in the COVID times to like get it. That like it's going to like that is going to have to like Infinite's going to have to be the one to save like the Xbox, because it's like they don't it might be the one, because right now. That like I don't know many people who are hype as much for the Xbox Series X as much as they are for the PS5. So hopefully in the future people listen to this, they'll see if Halo did what it did originally the first Xbox, if it still changed the Xbox now. But yeah, did you have anything else, or you guys have any other notes?
No, well, I mean, just a quick thing about PlayStation 5. It seems like for years, or every generation of PlayStation, they wanted so desperately for people to stand them up on its side. But I never knew anybody that ever did.
No,
you always just put it flat. And so they said, well, screw y'all. We're just going to make it standing up. How about that?
The
so
red, the red, was the red circle of death?
I had that.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I get the one where you could send it in and they fixed it.
Okay.
But it was a whole thing. From the 360, you'd get, like, the three rings pop up around the power button. But, yeah, that did have the 360 limped along for a long time. But, yeah, it is, it's fascinating. They always want...
We're not even going to give you the choice.
It looks more visual and striking for it to be tall. Yeah. And, yeah. Guys, I don't like that PS5. I think it looks hideous.
You think it looks hideous?
I don't like it.
I think if you have it like on a shelf or something, it looks pretty bad. Where like the Xbox Series X is just a rectangle, so it just fits really well.
I kind of like that. I think it's a nice, pretty, simple rectangle.
Yeah. I think, but the thing is like if you have a PS5, then that's like a power stance. Be like, look what I got.
That's true.
So if you want to flex, that's what you have. But I agree with that. But did you guys have any other notes?
The only Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have anything?
Actually, else
you were the first
the
guest to bring handwritten notes. So.
Oh man. Yes is the answer, but okay. They're all random, pulled from my fever brain.
The only thing I had left to think about was just like, what are some? Can you think of like two or three good like live moments?
From Xbox Live?
Or? Yeah, just times you were playing Halo, something crazy happened.
Oh, okay.
And you're just like, man, I love this game.
Okay.
I was thinking we can tell. I mean, we already mentioned Jake, so we can tell that other.
I want you to tell that story because that's really good.
You guys go ahead and tell that story because I actually have to run and go grab, because everyone on Most Exciting Podcast, our guests, get a gift.
Oh yes.
So let me go grab that real quick.
It's Christmas.
You guys keep going with that. I'll be right back. Yeah, you guys keep talking.
Okay.
Uh oh. Okay, we're gonna get off the rails now.
I think. Do you just mean Xbox Live or just Halo in general?
Well, just Halo.
Yeah.
Halo.
I mean, there are many, of course. You remember when we ran into, there was that guy on Xbox Live who had like, it was on Halo 4 and he was purple and gold colored and his name had ECU in it.
Yeah.
And then we were like, do you go to East Carolina University? Meanwhile, and he played on the football team.
And we're like chatting one letter at a time.
Oh, on the Xbox controller. Yeah. It's so bad. And
we found out he was an ECU football player.
Yeah, and he ended up nicely trash talking UNC football team. That was actually really fun.
Yeah,
that was great.
Because I think they probably hammered us that year. But then also we were like, I think he said like we can both agree Duke sucks though.
Yes, right? Yeah. And we're like, lifelong friend. Yeah.
Lifelong friend.
What? But the story you're telling.
The other story with Jake was, this was a time me and Caleb and our other friend Matt Johnson, shout out.
Shout out to Matt. I'm back, by the way.
Yeah. Oh. But we were at Caleb's place because we were going hiking over spring break. So Caleb's house was home base, and then we would go hiking and then come back and spend like another night or two there. And this was when we had been back from hiking, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we were all nice and tired, And the three of us are Jake. We were talking about like, hey, let's play some Halo. And Jake was like, yeah, I got to do something, but I'll be right back. And then I'll play with you guys. The three of us kept playing for, at that point, we've been a couple hours, two or three hours. And it was about midnight. And we all were looking around each other, kind of, you know, the eyes are drooping. You're starting to yawn. You're like, okay, you put the controller down, wipe your mm-hmm. eyebrows.
Love that local multiplayer. But eventually it'll be good to have.
After the third hour, you're like, okay, I'm starting to see things.
And so we're ready. And then Jake comes down the stairs. He goes, all right, boys, who's ready? So we go, okay. And we played for like another 2.5 hours.
At least, It was just late.
Even adding the fourth person, and he brought in that fire. But we had made a map called Cash Money. All we did, and I want to talk about like
playing Roller Coaster Tycoon.
Yeah.
But we just dropped a bunch of fuel rods and cannons and tanks and stuff all over the place. We put so many tanks in one spot we couldn't move.
Yeah, yep.
Remember
and
that?
I think if you could blow up one, it would like all start blowing up.
Oh my gosh! And that was like the only map I could ever win anything on with these guys. They were all way better than me. But if you have a bunch of explosive weapons and you're playing a short game, then I can maybe stand.
You might win, but you'll definitely blow up the person that's attacking you and yourself.
Absolutely.
I have circled right here.
Oh, yeah.
Forge.
Yeah.
That we have not even mentioned, but that came out, I think, in Halo 3 first and then was, or maybe Reach. I don't remember, but 4 is where we really play with it a lot. But that was like when they let you make your custom maps and you didn't have to like be a modder, you know, like in PC world. I think that was a big deal. It's like PC people, you know, they got into games and they made their own stuff. They made mods. But like for a console to be like, hey, we're going to give you tools to like pull in different objects and make your own maps. Like I loved doing that. That was a lot of fun.
Outside of Cash Money, what was a fun Forge map you made?
Shout out to Cash Money.
Yeah. Rip.
Pour one out. Yeah.
I remember I made a map where it was like you were floating in space, and it was one of those where I actually did try, like, usually when you play Forge, or like, I shouldn't say, you know, I'm sure there are other people that, you know, try to make real maps, but like, when we would get on Forge, it's like, how can we make it as insane as possible?
Yes.
But I remember I did make one map where I was like, I'm gonna try to like make it into a semi-functioning, like, multiplayer map, and I remember it was basically like you're floating in space, and it's just this platform that's kind of like an S-curve. And it's pretty small because, again, didn't have Xbox Live. And I was like, I want to be able to have something fun for 4 players. That was the thing.
Right, yeah.
Not many of the maps were, like, really good for 4 players. They had a few small ones, but not many. So I made this, like, little S-curves. And then at the end of the S's were – this is a podcast, so the visual help doesn't – you know, visual cues doesn't really help. But at the end of the S-curves would, like, shoot you – or grav cans that would shoot you back to the middle, I think. And then there were like banshees, so if someone could actually get in the banshees and fly around too. But it was
banshees are ships for people who don't.
Yeah, they're like airplanes. You can get in the little airplanes.
Would I have ever played this map?
I think so.
I think that sounds familiar.
But there was like kind of a central platform, and then at the end of the S-curves were like towers with grav cannons on the top. But it was the point was that I wanted something fun for like 4 people to play essentially. The Forge I remember spending way too much time on.
To that end of just playing with 4, my house of guys after college, I think, I forget if it was 2 or 3, I think it was 3, but we created, because we were just doing local multiplayer all the time, no one was paying for Xbox Live, but we changed the game mode and changed some of the stuff, so we weren't forging maps, but we changed things about the game, and the most fun one we came up with was, if you are in first place, you move at 20% speed.
Yes.
And then if you're in anything but first place, you're, I think you're slower, but you're also invisible, but you have a marker, something like that.
Yeah.
But then if you're in out of first place, you're moving at 200% speed and your gravity is like half.
So
you can move really fast and jump crazy.
Basically
high.
Fly.
So at the beginning of the game, everyone's tied for first. So everyone's really slow. And so it's just this slow crawl, like to the middle of the map, or the first person to pick a sniper and like shoot across the map, or get a sword or whatever. And then you get that first kill, and then everybody starts flying around like a beehive.
Yes.
And then you just, so the game became like be in second place until, and you only played to 15 kills. So the game became be in second place until like 13 kills, and then try to get 2 really quick.
Right.
But just, we did that so much.
That does sound like a lot of fun.
That's rad. And
I love the options they put into the multiplayer. Yeah.
Another one was we turned off all guns and everything spawned was just grenades. We called it dodgeball. So it was just a map where it was just all the different kinds of grenades. And we're just
that's amazing. I remember my cousin introducing one. I think this was Halo 3 because I remember the map. You played on the really big desert map in Halo 3. And he called it Dirty Dirty. He always said it dirty, dirty, and you had 300% speed and max gravity, so you couldn't jump. You were just like like a land speeder, and you only had a pistol and no shields, so you were super fast, but one headshot you die, and so it was just like those like people zipping around, and then like you would just like get shot from like halfway across the map with like a lucky shot. I did a similar one with my brothers where it was. Full speed, and it was just grab hammers and swords, of course. It was like melee. I mean, you were like jousting. You're like running. You know, at like supersonic speeds, and you like cross each other with melee weapons. That was really fun. I know you were finishing up, but Jared, I have to admit, I wrote all of this, and it wasn't until I got here that I wrote down firefight. I literally forgot to even mention Firefight. Jared and I played this game mode. It was introduced in ODST, I think, but they eventually brought it. It came in Reach where it reached full maturity, but it was called Firefight, which was like cooperative, but not campaign, where it was like you're fighting waves of enemies and they get progressively harder and they had like difficulty modifiers. And it was a lot of fun. And it was the first time like Halo was like, hey, let's do like a cooperative non-campaign experience. And the reason I bring it up is one, because Jared and I played a ton of it in college before I got Xbox Live and Halo 4. And then also because after Firefight for a couple years, it was kind of like the Battle Royale format now, whereas like everyone was coming out with a Firefight or Horde, which was what Gears of War 2 had mode, where it was like cooperative, you're fighting off waves and... it was just a really cool mode, that was, they were like, oh, if you don't want to like fight, you know, your best friend, you could like actually work with them. So they, to your point earlier, they always did a great job of like giving you ways to embrace the campaign and the more solo slash like story experience. And then also like play with friends and strangers or, you know, teabag people.
And then,
I think did that start in Halo?
I'm pretty sure. Yeah. The first I ever heard of it or it was done to me was Halo.
Dr. Phil just left the building.
But that's the Firefight. As I've always maintained that is the only way that I can truly tell how test my improvement in Halo is to go back and play one of those Firefights.
Yeah, we'll never,
because I would do I would like duck behind a corner and shoot the Spartan laser and blow myself up. Like all the time. And I'm better than that now.
Yeah. But
we'll never know unless you find that Xbox 360.
Yeah, Malcolm.
Get your disc cleaner.
Mm. Yeah.
Clean off that disc and then let's play Firefight.
That's true. I realize I have one more story I have to tell.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Because this is like stupid, nerdy, fun, but this is cool. this is like quintessential Halo multiplayer for me, because this was before I got Xbox Live and all that. But I was playing with my brothers and my cousin, and my cousin Mike. And at this time, that was like when I would say I wasn't as good at video games and stuff like I am now. And so, he was really good, my cousin. And this was Halo 3, where you have the gravity hammer, which is like a hammer. It's a two-handed hammer, to those who don't know. And then you like would smash it, and it would shockwave. And it was like this boom, like this huge, like...
Like Netflix.
What?
That makes the sound of Netflix, sorry.
Ba-boom.
Oh. Yeah. Shockwave.
Yes. Yeah. Grav hammer, brought to you by Netflix. There was a moment where... I know that Star Wars has been mentioned on this podcast before, so spoilers for episode 3. But there's that moment where Obi-Wan, you know, cuts down Anakin, and he's like, no, Anakin, I have the high ground. You know, and then, of course, Anakin does, and he dies. But there was a moment where I was fighting my cousin, and I was on top of a ramp in this, like, hallway, and I, like... had him pinned down, and I said to Mike, I was like, don't try it, Mike, I have the high ground. And Mike pulls out his gravity hammer, runs around the corner, jumps at me and says, "But I have the ham ground," and then smashes me in the face.
the ham ground.
Yep.
Love that.
So ever since, that's a thing that he and I have, that we share.
The ham ground. The ham ground. I love it.
Yeah.
We'll put that on our t-shirt.
Ooh. Yeah. When our Tee Public arrives, hopefully this year.
I'll buy it.
Yeah, a ham ground. But yes, yeah, so I mentioned earlier, but yeah, if you are a guest on our show, which means you get a prize. And I was trying to think of stuff that's Halo related, and it was very hard to find anything, but here you go. I'll swing this over. Oh. You might want to open it and see what you have for the guests. It's not a dog.
It's a lunchbox, by the way. He's giving.
Oh, yeah. It's in a lunchbox, but it's not that.
That's what the
It's not
is.
Halo, but it is.
It's cold.
It is Halo Top ice cream.
Oh, man.
We have chocolate mocha chip and sea salt caramel.
Oh, man. I mean, I do love ice cream. That's another thing I love. I don't just love Halo. I love other things.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. I'm just saying Halo Infinite's coming out, and if they want to do their hype marketing, I mean, partner with Halo Top ice cream.
That's Halo Top ice cream.
So Halo Top ice cream.
Master Chief looking slim.
Yeah. Mm.
I mean, it is only 320 calories per pint, or 330 if you get the sea salt caramel.
Both delicious, both very good. But I'm just saying, these are ideas for 343 Industries, if you want to partner with them. Or there's a Clementine company that make Halo
Clementines. I've had those.
Beyonce to do her Halo song, as we mentioned earlier.
Do you think if Master Chief stays in his armor and he just keeps eating, do you think, like his body can't expand in there, right? Like, just like what happens?
I don't know. But I'm just saying they should be partnering with Halo-related products.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you again for coming on.
Oh, man. It was a pleasure.
Yeah.
I could keep talking about it.
We probably will after we stop recording. but yeah, thank you so much for listening. Yeah, follow us on Twitter and Instagram with the handle Most Extreme Pod. And if you like what you heard, rate us, review us on Apple Podcasts. And if you have any questions, email us at mostextremepodcast@gmail.com. And we will see you next week. See ya.
Bye.